Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
It's time for the church to acknowledge that we have brothers and sisters who are gay.
LGBTs have to find a household of worship that reflects what your views are and what you believe.
A gay person who still wants to attend church after the way the church has treated the gay community, I'm telling you, they have more faith than I do. They have more faith than a lot of you.
What's not loving is to look someone in the eye when God says they are in jeopardy of an eternity in hell and merely wink and nod at their sin because you're afraid of being called names.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Hit it, Hal!
It's the Wretched Radio mail call delivery bag Q&A infotainment nationwide extravaganza featuring your voicemails, correspondences, communiques, dispatches, memorandums, and missives.
Any special message for all the kids watching at home?
What we need right now is a clear message to the people of this country.
You have 1,200 messages.
That is a bit above average.
Now here's your host, Todd Freakishly Tall Friel.
Here. Ooh. Apparently I have a drinking problem. This is Wretched Radio. I just opened up a can of I don't know what this is, and it went flying. Who's been shaking the cans in the fridge? It makes me look like I've got a drinking problem because my desk is sopping now. Jimmy, do you know where Hit It Hell comes from? I'll bet you don't.
I do not.
It comes from the Fig Newton commercial.
Ah.
Have you ever seen the Fig Newton commercial?
There's been a lot of them in my lifetime.
No, the old one.
No, obviously not.
Hit it, Hal. Chewy, gooey, rich and chewy inside. Tender, flaky, golden, cakey outside. Wrap the inside in the outside. Is a good darn tootin'. It's a big Fig Newton. One more time. It's a big Fig Newton. That was the big finale. And it was a Fig Newton guy dancing around.
The things you remember.
We got that one nailed, don't I? Right. Go ahead. Ask me what my sermon text is for Sunday. Let's see. I know it's in the Bible someplace. Would you please send stuff, whatever it is that you deem wretched, to idea@wretched.org. If you would like to complain, we can handle that. Critique, that's fine too. Send whatever wretched thought you have. That didn't sound right. Send whatever wretched thought you have. Via text to 877-282-2337.
All right, we'll start with a text from Anonymous. Todd, in the wake of Charlie Kirk's death, I have been overwhelmed with grief for a person I really didn't know.
Yeah.
As the week has passed, I have heard many people echo the same thing. I would love to hear your thoughts on why this has been so different and so impactful. This hurts so much more than I ever experienced for a public figure, and I'm not sure why.
Yeah. Yeah, I've been asking that question a lot, and I've been asking that question of a lot of people. Why is this hitting so hard? I'm pretty certain we talked about that earlier this week. I think I had a list of 11 things that are like, whew, about it. Now, there's a couple more that weren't on that list, not the least of which is witnessing an execution. Not the least of which is witnessing an execution in America. On a university campus, on a sunny day, in front of a man's children? Come on. That's like, whoa. So it is just, I would say that was a genuinely traumatic event. Now, I know the word has been so abused, you know, and like, okay, I open up my can. What is this anyway? Sweetened cherry limeade. Okay. Made by Clear American? What is that? What am I drinking? I'm going to get a tumor. I just know it. I'm going to get a tumor from this. All right. I open up this can and it goes psh, all over the place right before the program starts. That was traumatic. No, no, it wasn't. But witnessing a man getting murdered, that's traumatic. I know it was only video. That's traumatic. And isn't it interesting how that punched you in the guts? Even though most of us have seen a million murders on movie screens, TV shows, if you're a video gamer, you're shooting people all the time. And this, by the way, might actually be yet another argument to put the kibosh on violent video games. It trivializes shooting somebody. Most of those games, that's what it's about. You know, shoot, bang, bang, catch them, kill them. It's like, wait a second. I think the Charlie Kirk thing illuminated, whoa, that is serious. What are we doing? That's a wicked event. Why would we want to turn that into a game? And then somehow justify by saying, well, they're just pixels, but they represent life. So one more. perhaps reason to find better things to do than play violent video games. So for all of those reasons, I think the Charlie Kirk thing, it was indeed traumatic. And I do believe that the issue, I think we are going to, yeah, that should be today. We talked about this yesterday, about the what's happening, the fallout in churches. I got to tell you something. It aches my heart. That's right. I'm Billy Ray Cyrus. It aches my heart. Because I know that there are some wimpy pastors. I get that. I do know that. And I think that there are some pastors, sure, they maybe made a bad decision with bad motives to not address it with their flock. I understand that. But mostly, I think the good, I'm not talking about heretics. I'm not talking about guys that are not trying and their sermons are awful. Not talking about those guys. I'm talking about guys who are weighing the issues, trying to sort it. And then you've got people on the internet saying, if your pastor doesn't talk about it, dedicate a service to it, hold a prayer vigil for it, start a parade for it, then they should be disqualified from being a pastor and they should quit or you should leave the church. Oh, no. No, no, no. We got to deal with this in the church and we got to deal with it together. Because last time I checked, when we share the essentials, we're on the same team, right? Jimmy, you got any other reasons besides the ones we shared this week and
well,
that it was awful to watch?
I've been putting a lot of thought into it, and I can't remember if this was on your list or not, but the thing that I keep coming back to is I think it feels like a strategic loss.
Oh, yeah, there's that too.
You know,
this kid was impactful.
He was such a countercultural voice.
Yes.
And, I mean, he spoke about things that we're all thinking all the time, but he had a voice that he was saying it.
Yep.
And so we lost a brother in arms.
He was one who was willing to speak it without apologizing. Mm. And I've never watched everything that Charlie does. I would never say, I affirm everything everybody has ever said. That's just impossible to make that sort of statement. But he would talk about the issues that we're told, zip it, submit, and worship. And he just didn't accept it. And so I agree with you. We lost a powerful voice for speaking clarity. And my understanding is increasingly over the last 2 or 3 years, he was becoming more vocal about his faith and being evangelistic and sharing the gospel. I think people got saved because of Charlie's work. And it's grievous. Look, it's just grievous. Here maybe is an interesting thought experiment. And I hesitate a little bit because you don't want anybody to think these thoughts, but let's, as a thought experiment, and don't think about anybody in particular. What if this had happened to a progressive liberal, 31 years old? They're really good at touting their progressive political views. How would we feel about that? Now, I recognize it's going to be different to a degree, but when you see the murder of any human being, it should grieve us, any of them, including somebody that I don't agree with at all politically. So knowing him, knowing his values were probably in alignment with mine as a rule. Yeah, it's a big thing.
Yeah,
it might be the event that perhaps personifies, I'm going through my Rolodex here, personifies, encapsulates the zeitgeist. It's like, there it is. There's the divide. This is what this country is now. And it's not the same. I think that's a big part of it. It's like, yikes, this is not the way it used to be. This is not the way that it should be. So I think it was a big deal. And my hope is this, that this, in whatever way the Lord chooses to use it, will sweep across the university campuses. And kids, I think it's already happening. They're asked, it's like, okay, what's the deal? What's the deal? And I've heard Charlie speak about this subject. and he's talked about it. I think I need to explore it. I think they're open to it. I think this is another one of those jarring events that is causing university campus college kids to say, what's going on? This is so busted. The dude got mowed down. What is happening? I'm pleased to announce we will be at Kennesaw State University and University of North Georgia next week. Greg Giffords flying into town. I think he's teaching a class on Monday. He'll be here for Tuesday. And then he and I are going to the campus of... No, I just didn't sustain a head injury. Here it is right here. I got it right here. We're going to North Georgia first. All righty. Hey, there's a good restaurant in downtown Dahlonega. That's going to be Tuesday, September the 23rd, 6:30, the Hoag, H-O-A-G, Auditorium.
He's really excited, too.
Greg is?
Greg is. I talked to him yesterday. He's very excited.
I'm just curious. Why were you talking to Greg? We have podcast stuff?
Well, no, he biblical counsels me over the phone. He has podcast stuff.
I wouldn't have doubted the other.
Yeah, it's so true.
Because how many hours free time does that man have? Because he's going to need them. It's at the Hoag Auditorium, University of North Georgia. Then we're going to be at Kennesaw State, 6:30 again. September 24th at the Carmichael Student Center. If you can join us, we'd love to see you. This is Wretched Radio.
Let's be honest. You've earned your PhD in couch sitting. You know exactly which cushion has the perfect amount of give. You memorize where the remote lands when you toss it. You are a professional. Well, congratulations. Your expertise just became holy ground. Fortis Plus has officially arrived on your TV. That's right. Your sanctuary of relaxation is now an actual sanctuary. Stream biblical truth without moving a muscle, except maybe your thumb on the remote. Every single resource Fortis Plus produces is now available on that beautiful big screen you justified buying because, well, it was on sale, honey. From your phone to now on your Roku, Samsung, LG, Vizio, Apple TV. Basically, if it has a screen and an internet connection, Fortis Plus is there. It's free to download the app. It's free to stream all of our content, funded by gospel partners who believe your couch time should count for eternity. Go ahead, stay seated, but download Fortis Plus first, because your couch just got promoted.
Is it possible a Christian university can actually be ranked high when it comes to preparing students for the real world? Hat tip to Masters University. You want to send your kids someplace where they actually still teach the Bible? Not just based on a document that they maybe have in a file cabinet someplace, but they actually use the Bible there. The education at the Masters University, not only biblical, but oh so practical. Courses, diplomas, degrees, they can be achieved online or, of course, on their beautiful campus in Southern California. Would you like to learn more about the Masters University to prepare you or your child for the future? I encourage you to visit masters.edu/wretched, masters.edu/wretched.
You know what's annoying? Everyone acts like you should just automatically know how to be a man. Like it's supposed to be obvious or something. And then when you're struggling with temptation or you don't know what you're supposed to be doing with your life, they just say, hey, try harder, pray more. Yeah, I'll do that. Okay, thanks for nothing. Well, Dr. Adam Tyson is actually doing something. He's going to tell you the truth. A brand new Fortis Forum that you can find at fortisplus.org. 5 steps to becoming a man after God's own heart. Dr. Tyson's going to give you real answers from the Bible. Not cliches, not go figure it out for yourself, but actual steps that will tell you and teach you how to fight sin with scripture, how to live with purpose instead of just reacting to whatever happens. Here's the best part. He's going to start with the gospel, so you're not trying to earn God's approval. You're going to be living from his approval. It's on Fortis Plus on demand. You can watch whenever you want at Fortis Forum with Dr. Adam Tyson. And it's free because Fortis Plus is free. Hey, if you're tired of guessing what manhood looks like, just go watch it right now. FortisPlus.org. FortisPlus.org.
Important dates in Christian history. 1793. William Carey sails as a missionary to India. In the next 40 years, he would oversee more Bible translations
than had previously been produced in all of Christian history. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Wish somebody told me this. This is Wretched Radio. I'm looking at this little thing here. I guess it's called a piece of paper. The five steps to becoming a man after God's own heart. Where was this when I got saved? Adam Tyson, one of our Fortis fellows. It is a brand new resource. It is at Fortis Plus. It is free. Five lessons. No, is it five? Yeah, I think it's five lessons. And they're 20 minutes long. And I believe we have a study guide to go with it. What defines true strength? How to be a man of integrity, purity, and discipline. It is super helpful. So please avail yourself of a brand new resource titled Five Steps to Becoming a Man After God's Own Heart. You will find it at fortisplus.org. Then, while you got that bad boy fired up, send us stuff. Would you be so kind? Wretched things should be delivered to idea@wretched.org, and you can feel free to text if you want to use your thumbs, 877-282-2337.
All right, this is a text from Anonymous. Todd, I've heard some comments that lead me to believe Fortis is not a fan of C.S. Lewis.
Hmm.
What gives?
What gives? Okay, I would say this. Whenever I read C.S. Lewis, I profit from it in some way. I can't think of a time when I haven't. But does that make me a fan? Is he a go-to guy for me? No, he's not. And that so, but that's just a preference issue. So would I say I'm a fan? No. Would I say I'm an antagonist to C.S. Lewis? I would say that he has some theology that you got to watch out for. You just have to. So I would say this, if you're not very advanced yet in theology and your understanding of the essentials and the implications of being off on things, maybe go shore that up before you start consuming CS. Then I think that you can eat the meat, spit out the bones when you find one, and profit from him. His stuff on Shadowlands is glorious. And I wish I'd have to memorize it word for word to even come close to paraphrasing it as beautifully as he wrote it. That this life, it reality, if you will, like what all of this stuff points to, it's just over the hill. It's a song. It's beautiful, but you only hear it in the distance, indicating we're not meant for this planet the way that it is. Oh, come on. That's good stuff. So I'm not a fan. I'm not an anti-fan. I'm just aware that he's got some theology that is indeed, I'm about to go as far as to say troublesome. I think this is one of those guys, depending on your level of theological knowledge, you can eat the meat, spit out the bones. Jimmy?
Yeah, I mean,
is everybody going to be mad at me for that?
I don't think so. I mean, From my perspective, I mean, I just recently quoted him in a sermon. I'm not anti C.S. Lewis.
Did you do the caveat?
No, I didn't.
What?
I didn't. No, I'm like I said, I'm not anti C.S. Lewis, but I'm also cautious, I guess.
Well, sure.
Yeah.
You do. That's fine. And look, I know some people have some strong opinions about C.S. Lewis. I'm just interested in profiting from what I read from the guy when I choose to read the guy or run into a quote from the guy. So I'm not looking to hack or to extol, but I've seen some people who are like, you can't quote C.S. Lewis because that's an endorsement of his bad theology. I would say that I think there's room for differences of opinion on that.
Yeah.
Where we can maybe not think that the other person is a heretic just because they quoted C.S. Lewis in the sermon. You didn't do it with the Presbyterians, did you?
No, I did not. I did not.
Where did that come from? Up at church?
When I went back to Tennessee to preach a couple of months ago.
Oh, the other time.
Yeah, yeah.
Uh-huh. And Blake didn't tag you on it, huh?
He did not. Huh. He did not. Maybe he was slipping. Thinking it. He might have been thinking it. I don't know, but he didn't say anything.
877-282-2337.
All right, this is from Peter. Todd, question about deacons. Does the Bible forbid a man from becoming a deacon if he is unmarried or if he does not have children?
I think I know the reason for this question, because in the qualification for deacons that we see, 1 Timothy 3, it talks about being a one-woman man. It talks about not having unruly children, but that doesn't mean that that is, you have to have them. If you have them, this is the dynamic. This is what it needs to look like. But that is not a, the qualification is, if you're a man with a wife and children, this is what it looks like. That's not having children, not being married, that's not the qualification. It's how you are leading them. I don't think I'm missing anything from that, Jim. I suspect that's what's motivating that. Yeah, you can be a single man and you can be a deacon. I think you can be a single man and you can be an elder, because the qualifications aren't having a spouse and having kids. It's your leadership skills. I'm going to share a little inside. Well, I guess you could probably just call it gossip. But it's good gossip, because it's extolling somebody. We just had our Fortis Fellows meeting, where all the guys and Libby were on a big Zoom thing, and we spent time talking about the issue of how we can have disagreements with others while maintaining biblical fidelity. And everybody took kind of a shot at it. And I learned so much listening to everybody. But Challies said something that I thought was really like, dude, good on you. He said, one of the most helpful things I've found about not being quarrelsome is to read the qualification of an elder to not be quarrelsome. And he prays through the qualifications of an elder. He said, I just pray through them, each one. And I thought, oh, that's a really good discipline. That's a really good exercise. And that might be a really refreshing way for you to read your Bible. That is an alternative way to do it. If you're stuck in a rut, and it's because you've been on a Bible program, or you haven't had any sort of organization and it's just been kind of here and there, this is another valid way of reading the Bible. Why don't you take a section of scripture and just pray through that paragraph? So when you see, like in Tim's case, he's going through the attributes of an elder. Lord, please help me to not be quarrelsome. Help me to not be the one who's got to one up. Help me to be the one who doesn't have to win, pick fights, bring up things that don't need to be brought up. That's engaging the word. And it's likely going to help you remember it better. Look for a way. And I think having a broad array of options for Bible reading is so good. Because that way, when you're going through seasons, you can pick the one that is most helpful for you in that season. So for example, rather than reading, okay, instead of saying, I'm going to read X chapters every day, which is fun, that's one of the options, by the way. You do that. If that's what you need to be doing, that's great. You do that. But as an alternative, you look for a word for an issue that you're dealing with. And then you go to your concordance and you look up all those Bible verses, and then you use your cross references. And what are you doing, man? You're just tearing up that Bible and you're just going through it, because I really need to understand that word because I'm dealing with this situation. That's, the Bible shouldn't be this esoteric reading where I flop the thing open and I read it through and I've read. No, you should engage with it and interact with it. This is more of a hermeneutical approach, but always be interrogating the text when you're reading. This is the lost art of Christian meditation. I know that word has a ton of baggage attached to it, but that you spend time thinking on even a word in a text, not even the entire verse, but maybe just a word, not emptying your brain, but thinking about it. Go look it up. Go get a Greek lexicon and understand the word. Hey, how does that word get used over there? What are you doing? You're working your Bible, because the Bible isn't just meant to be read and it can happen so easily. I got to check that box or I have not been a good Christian today. Look, I think we should strive to read our Bibles every single day. Every day. Why wouldn't we want the honey? But if you need to... If you just need to read it because you have to read it, it's not going to profit you much. It won't profit you nothing, but it won't profit you much. Find a way. Maybe you need to go through a season where, you know, I need to lighten up maybe on the epistles because I've just been just heavy theology. I'm just going to go read about Jesus, and into one of the gospels you go. It might even be on a particular day where it's like, you know, my mind, I am just so like, I want to read a Bible story. Go read Joseph. That's one of the best stories in the world. And just read it and enjoy it. That's okay. So find a way that works for you in reading the Bible that you can employ when you need it because you're going through a particular season, because the Bible, it's not just some text or manuscript. It's alive. We should read it that way. This is Wretched Radio.